House of the Lord tonight. Glad you saved a good amen.
Amen.
All right. Appreciate the good singing tonight. After they got on singing, Brother Bradley looked over and I thought he said, "Gord head." But he said, "Go ahead." Either one would have been right, wouldn't it? Amen. Thank you, folk, for the wonderful songs tonight and the choir numbers and the special songs from the church folk. I tell you, this kind of singing sounds good to me. I appreciate folk that sing the right kind of songs in the right spirit. And I believe that last song just summed it all up. Blessed and highly favored. Surely we are a blessed people and we're highly favored. If nothing else, just to be a child of God. Good to see this number out on Wednesday night. I'm glad you come. I'm glad to see all of our young people. And I'm glad to see the seniors here tonight. You know, I've joined the senior crowd. Not too bad to get to be a senior. They tell me you get free coffee at McDonald's. I've not tried it yet, but we need all the freebies we can get in this world, don't we? We seniors have turned into the AIDS generation. You say, "Well, I didn't know the seniors were the AIDS generation." Yes, we've got walking AIDS, hearing AIDS, Band-Aids, Roll-Aids, Kool-Aids. We got all the AIDS you need, amen, to help us along. But it's so good to see all of you tonight, whether you're young, old, or in between. And we're glad we're here tonight. It's been a real honor to be with you folk here at New Hope. I appreciate Brother Bradley and Miss Sandra. And I appreciate her being able to be with us tonight. We missed you, but I'm glad you're feeling better. And all of you, some of you have been here every night, and I appreciate that. I hope you come tonight to hear from heaven. Hope you've already heard. And thank you for just making me and Jackie welcome over here at New Hope. I've been helped this week, and I hope you have. And good singing like we've heard from the folk this week, and that choir tonight, that choir all plumb full, and folks singing with enthusiasm. I go to some churches and they sing "Standing on the Promise" and act like it's "Sleeping on the Premises." I like for people to get enthused about this thing of being saved. Sing. I've often said, if you're going to sing, sing. If you're going to preach, preach. If you ain't going to do neither one, get out of the way and let somebody else get on with it. And this choir just does a good job. You know, one preacher looked over at the other one and said, "You know, if I had a choir to sing like that, I believe I could preach better." He said, "If you preach better, you'd have a choir to sing like that." So it kind of goes hand in hand, don't it? Talking about seniors, you know, I see some folk here tonight with some snow on your roof. You can have some snow on your roof, still have a fire in the fireplace. I mean, you don't push us out of the way because we're getting old and a little bit feeble. But I was thinking about a little story I heard about one of the senior men. He's 90 years old and he's sitting out on a park bench. And in the middle of that park, sitting on that bench all alone, he was crying like a baby. Man, a policeman got to watching him and he got a little concerned about him. Old man sitting over there crying, wondering what's wrong with him. So after a while, he walked over and said, "Feller, I don't mean to impose on you, but I'm a policeman. Noticed you've been sitting here crying for a while. Can I help you?" And the old feller looked up at him and he said, "Well, I'm 90 years old." He said, "My wife's 30 years old." He said, "She's a beauty queen. She's won a lot of beauty pageants." And said, "She's a gourmet cook. She can cook anything. We don't need for anything. We've got cars, boats, live in a house, cost $1 million. We got all the money we never think about having, can't spend the interest on it." Policeman said, "Well, my goodness, ma'am, with all that going for you, what you doing sitting out here in the middle of this park on this bench all by yourself crying?" He said, "I forgot where I live." Make you cry, wouldn't it, Bob? Man had all that and forget the way home. Amen. But it's been a real joy to be here with you this week. Now, I have a message tonight for the young, the old, in between. The Bible says, and I'll say this, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." Now, I'm kind of introducing you to the thought and the theme for tonight's message. Now, that's Hebrews 9:27. I heard the pastor say something this week that caught my attention. Brother Bradley said, I'm not going to die. And you said, well, now, Brother Don, that's a wrong statement. No, that's a biblical statement. You see, in John chapter 8 and verse 51, Jesus said, whoso keepeth my word shall never see death. And in John 11, 25 and 26, he said to Martha, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, I live and I believe in him, and he said, I'm not going to die. Yet the Hebrew writer said, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, well, those scriptures seem to contradict themselves. No, they do not contradict, but they complement.
Amen.
The Bible does not contradict itself. You see, the key word in Hebrews 9:27 is this, once. But as it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, with that thought in mind, what about John 8:51, John 11, 25, 26? Would it surprise you that if I told you I've already died? Every person that got saved died. And it's appointed a man once to die. And after you get made alive through the miracle of the new birth, whosoever keepeth my word shall never see death.
Amen.
You see, in the Old Testament, Abraham lived and he died. Isaac lived and he died. Jacob lived and he died. Joseph lived and he died. In fact, the Bible starts in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment. And the last verse in Genesis chapter 50 said they embalmed Joseph and buried him in a coffin, or put him in a coffin. The book of Genesis starts with perfect paradise and ends with a coffin in Egypt. The wages of sin is death. You see, the first time I was born to die. Second time I was born to fly. And it's appointed a man once to die, so I'm not going to die.
Amen.
If you'll check your Bible in the New Testament after the resurrection of Christ, it don't say that Peter lived and he died, Paul lived and he died. It just said Stephen fell asleep.
Amen.
Likens it to just going to sleep here and waking up in glory.
Amen.
So if they roll me down in front of the church and Brother Brad and other preachers get up and say, Brother Don died, I didn't put any requests. God let me kick the lid off of that thing. Sit up and smile at you and say there's not a word of truth in that. With that thought in mind, how many Bibles do we have in the house of God? Let's see them real high. Praise the Lord for the word of God. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'll be reading verses 13 and 14 tonight. And while you're turning to the New Testament book of 2 Peter chapter 1, again, we've certainly enjoyed being with you. Thank you for all you've done for us and made us feel welcome, and I hope you'll continue to pray for us as we go from place to place. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Now, you might have thought I was wasting time talking about the seniors and the age and the snow on the roof and all of that, but listen, we're all the oldest we've ever been. Don't complain about getting old. When you quit getting old, you're dead. I'm glad I'm a day older. I'm 4 days older than I was when I started this meeting. But I look at it like this. I'm closer to being home than I've ever been. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you could stand with us, we'll read verses 13 and 14. The Bible said in 2 Peter 1, 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. May the Lord bless these verses from the book of 2 Peter. Brother Bradley, would you pray for us, please, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these nights of meeting that we've been in so far. And God, as we said before, yesterday's blessings are not sufficient for today. God, we ask that you would just bless Brother Don now as he brings to us the bread of life. Dear Heavenly Father, that we would take it and apply it to our lives. Dear God, if there's a lost one here tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that they would surrender to you, dear God. Come to the altar, dear Heavenly Father, and give their life to you. God, that they could start anew, that they would die the once. Brother Don's going to talk about that so then live forevermore. God, we thank you for this night. Blessings upon this service. We give it to your control. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Pastor. Thank all of you again for your prayers and your presence in the house of the Lord tonight. And we've enjoyed all the good singing, and it's been a real honor for us to be here. And we thank the Lord for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Now, it seems as though Peter has come down, and he knows that he does not have very long to live in this life. And when he talks in verses 13 and 14 of the scriptures we read tonight, he talks about this tabernacle. This tabernacle that he's talking about is his body of flesh. Now, the Bible does not tell us this, but Jewish history and Josephus, the great Jewish historian, tells us that Peter was crucified just like our Lord, but he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus, so he asked him to crucify him upside down. Said he weren't worthy to be crucified in the same manner as the blessed Lord. Now, I don't know if that'd be so or not, because the Bible does not give us the departing of Simon Peter. That's Jewish history that I just gave you. But I do know this, there come an appointment with Simon Peter, and he had to go on into eternity. And the Bible says when he's writing this second letter, he says to the people that he's writing to, namely the Jewish people, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." He said, "I want to leave a message with you. Don't forget what God's done for you and to you and through you." And I want to say that to New Hope Baptist Church tonight. We might be meeting for the last time. Now, I'm not in any hurry to die. I'm not in any hurry to check out. And you'll forgive me if I use the word die after what I said a while ago. But I'm not in any hurry to leave this body of flesh. I thank the Lord for every day. I counted today a blessing from God. And I don't meditate upon the thought of how many more days do I have, or I wonder if there's some terminal disease eating away at my body just now. I don't meditate upon things like that. I'm just thankful to God that I was able to get out of the bed today and I saw the sunshine of another blessed day. But Peter was conscious of the fact that he was not going to live forever in a body of flesh. And we ought to be conscious of that. We ought not to meditate upon when we're going to leave and how much longer do we have. And those things can get very depressing. Just count every day a blessing from God. It's not important the quantity of life, but it is important the quality of life. And we find that many people left at an early age. I'm sure that you've heard of great preachers like Charles Spurgeon. I've been doing a study on that, and Dwight L. Moody and Billy Sunday. And to my surprise, many of these men died in their mid-50s. And Charles Spurgeon died at 57 years old. Dwight L. Moody died at 62 years old. But notice the world is still talking about the Word of God that they preach tonight. So it's not the quantity of life, but it's the quality of life. King David died at the early age of 70 years. But notice his name is still recorded in the annals of God's Word. And his legacy still lives on tonight. Notice this man, Simon Peter. I do not know what age he left out, but he told the Jewish people, as long as he's in this tabernacle, he's going to stir them up by putting them into remembrance. And if you'll notice, I didn't read it, but up in verse number 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance." Notice the last words of verse 15, "things always in remembrance." He just keeps on using that word remembrance. Don't ever forget where you've been and where you're going to, and you'll shout right in the middle of the road in spite of everything if you just remember where God's brought you from and where he's taken you to. And Peter said, "I want to stir you up like this." And then he said, the reason I'm going to do that is in verse number 14, "knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Notice he said, "shortly I'm going to face the living God." And that goes to the book of James, chapter number 4, where the Bible said, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away." I look at my past life, and it don't seem to just just yesterday that I got saved, but it's been soon be 43 years. It seemed like just day before yesterday I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. I'm telling you, I have about 3 birthdays a year anymore, and I don't know where I'll be here tomorrow or not, but hear me today, church. When God calls us, we better be ready. If you're not sure you're ready tonight, you ought to come to this altar, because your tabernacle might be dissolved tonight. It might be the last message. It might be the last invitation. You don't have to be an old person to die. You don't have to live to be 70 or 80 or 90 years old. If you do, God bless you. I'll be praying God will give you strength. But dear friend, did you know young people go out in the eternity just like the older folk? Simon Peter said, "I must shortly put off this tabernacle." With that thought in mind, I want to preach on this subject tonight. When it comes my time to go. Now listen to me again. I don't meditate on this. I'm not looking forward to standing before God. Have a date with deity tonight. Have an appointment with the Almighty. But I'm glad to report to you that I'm ready to meet God. And I can say with my brother David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. Now notice that Psalms 23 and verse number 4. He said, "Yea, though I walk." Notice that word walk. He didn't say I'm going to run or be afraid. He just says walk. And then he uses the word through. He didn't say I'm going part way and stop. He said I'm going all the way through. And then he uses the word shadow. Have you ever thought about this? Where there's a shadow, there's got to be a light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." A shadow of a gun can't shoot you. A shadow of a dog can't bite you. Shadow of a cat can't scratch you. You can walk through a shadow and never feel it. Now listen, the reason that we have the confidence that we're ready to meet God is not because we're a super saint. It's simply the fact that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." Somebody said the Lord will meet me when it comes time to go through that valley. That's not entirely so. The Lord's not going to meet me. He said, "I'm going to enter with you. I'm going with you through it. And I'll come out with you on the other side." He's not going to meet me because he's already promised, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world."
Amen.
He'll walk with me down the valley, through the shadow, and out on the other side. Now there's just a little something about death that I fear. I'm ready to meet God, but it's a territory none of us have ever been to. And there's just a little tinge of fear in our heart. I don't care how dedicated to God you are. But don't sit around and say, "Well, am I going to have a massive heart attack? Am I going to worry myself today? Am I going to get killed in a car wreck? Is somebody going to shoot me? Am I dying of terminal cancer right now?" Don't sit around and think negative like that, because it will tend to take its toll upon you. But say with Simon Peter, "I know shortly I must put off this tabernacle of flesh, even as my Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, when it comes my time to go." And I do have a time, Brother Bradley. I again mention to you without apology, and as it is appointed and a man wants to die. I'm not looking to go by the cemetery. I believe the Lord's going to come and rapture me out before I see that old death angel. I believe the Lord is soon, but if he don't come back in the next few days, I realize that my strongest and best years, physically speaking, are behind me. And it behooves us to be ready to meet God. We might go to bed tonight if the Lord lets us get back to the house, and we might die in our sleep. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, just a pillow your head and go to sleep and wake up in glory. But we don't have the option to choose that. God might choose to let us have a stroke, and we might lay and suffer for weeks on end and have to be taken care of like a baby. We do not have the option to choose which way we're going to go. But we do have the option to choose which direction we'll go. And I'm glad that I've got a message of hope for you tonight. If you're young, old, in between, you're going to put off this tabernacle. There's not a person in Allegheny County that was here 200 years ago that's still here tonight. Not a person. And if the Lord stays his coming for another 100 years, which I don't think he will, most of us, if not all of us, will be in eternity. One generation comes and passes, and another comes and passes, another comes and passes. But none of us are put here to live forever in this body of flesh. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad I'm not going to have to live in this old tabernacle for all eternity. I'm glad God's got something better for the children of God. But when it comes my time to go, I want to leave you a few things. Peter said, Jewish people, he said in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He said there's no ifs and ands about it. I know that I'm going to have to lay it down. Now when you get talking about death and all of that stuff, it gets kind of quiet. We don't like to think about this subject. In fact, we don't even talk about it anymore. If you listen, people don't die nowadays. They expire. They pass away. They decease. We don't take them to the graveyard anymore. We take them to the memorial gardens. We take them to the mausoleum. We take them to the cemetery. But the bottom line is this, people still die and we still put them to bed with a shovel. That might sound cruel, but that's exactly the way the Bible said it happens. And when it comes your time to go, when it comes my time to go, I believe there's some things that we ought to know. When it comes my time to go, first of all, I want you to know, I'm going to leave here claiming redemption. I'm going to leave here claiming redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. For we know that if this our earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the same tabernacle that Simon Peter was talking about in our text chapter tonight. The Apostle Paul said to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5, 1, that for we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, that word dissolved means go back to its original form. Did you know that some folks say we were created from dirt? We're not made from dirt. You don't find that in your Bible. Man not created from dirt, Brother Bradley. Bible said in Genesis that God created man from the dust of the earth. We're not as good as the dirt we walk on. We're just the dust that blew off the dirt. We're created from dust. And do you know what happens when dust gets wet? It turns to mud. When a man gets stuck on himself, guess what it turns to? One little boy come running in and said, Mama, is it true that we came from dust and to dust we shall return? Yes, Johnny, that's so. What are you so excited about? Quick, Mama, get in my bedroom. Somebody's under my bed. I don't know where they're coming or going. Get them out from in there. We came from the dust of the earth and to dust we shall return. But I want you to know tonight when this old tabernacle of mine lays before you, if God chooses me to go that route, that I left here claiming redemption. If you don't hear anything else that this unworthy man of God has said these nights, and I don't see you more before we stand, you just remember that you're looking at a saved preacher. Amen. You say, Brother Don, all preachers are saved. You better get your head out of the sand. No, no, no. Not all preachers are saved. The devil has preachers. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that it's no marvel Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No marvel if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness. It's not everybody comes through with a Bible and holler and preach is God's preacher. Not everything that glitters is gold. If it's got webbed feet and waddles when it walks and quacks, it's a duck. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You better check your Bible behind these preachers. See if they're God's men. Let me give you a little illustration. You listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes through town hollering, preaching, preaching, preaching. I love God's preachers. But if you listen to all of them, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Now think about that. That's a confused bug, ain't it? a termite and a yo-yo? That's about like a two-headed woodpecker in a rock quarry, ain't it? When I was a boy, we slopped the hogs. Any of y'all remember slopping the hogs? Now they feed the pigs. But when I was a boy growing up, we had a slop bucket. And all the table scraps, if there's anything left, and that was very rare. When we killed a chicken, we eat everything but the cluck, and we tried to find that. But all your table scraps went into the slop bucket, and then you'd put some water in there and some chop or mash or whatever, and you'd take it down and feed it to your hogs. And there was something in the pig pen called a slop trough. It was made out of a piece of wood that you poured the slop in, and the pigs eat it. Now, I'm over some of you young folks' head. I just see that. It's deep stuff I'm talking about tonight. But an old farmer bought him some pigs, and he put them in his lot. And he went down to feed the pigs, and he poured the slop in the trough, and he started hollering. Well, those pigs didn't pay a bit of attention to him hollering. His neighbor got to watching him, and he said, "You're not doing that right." He said, "You don't have to holler at them pigs. When you pour that slop into that trough, you take that empty bucket, tap it on the trough, and they'll come a-running. Y'all ever fed in pigs? That's the way it happens, don't it? You don't have to holler at them." Well, he tried that, and it worked, Brother Bob. And everything went real good. Now, I'm told about you can't listen to everybody that comes through town. Everything went real good with the pig pen until a red-headed pecker wood flew into town. And when that woodpecker flew over the hog lot, he landed on a possum pine tree. And you know what a woodpecker will do, don't you? The pigs heard the woodpecker, and they run to the lower side of the lot. Scared the woodpecker, he went up on a poplar tree. They run to the poplar, scared him, and run down yonder to a sycamore. Now, the moral of the story is the pigs run themselves to death in the lot and didn't get an ounce of slop. You listen to every woodpecker comes through town, you run yourself to death and not know whether you're saved or not. But know this for a fact tonight, if you don't know anything else, you leave this assurance that I'm leaving here claiming redemption tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I believe the cruelest thing that anybody could ever do would be to leave this world and their family stand and look into their cold corpse face and wonder if they were ready to meet God. That's cruel. God helped me to live closer to the Lord than just when my obituaries rolled up and said he was of the Baptist faith. I didn't much stand before God on, is it? I believe, brother, when you look in it, have you ever looked into the face of somebody, a friend or a family member, and wondered, were they ready to meet God? That's sad. But it's sealed. I want folk to look into my face, and that brings me to the second thing I want to leave with you tonight. Not only I leave here claiming redemption, but I want to leave here with a cherished remembrance. I want, if I leave here and my wife and young'uns and grand-young'uns are standing down there at the head of that casket, I don't want them to stand there and look in my face and say, I wonder if he's ready to meet God. My Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I want to leave behind a cherished remembrance. If I leave out Brother Bradley and my wife and children and grandchildren walk down the street and somebody said, you're Don Ball's wife, you're Don Ball's child, I want them to stick their chest out and not their tongue. I want them to be proud. I want them to be able to say, yes, my husband lived what he preached. My daddy practiced what he preached. My grandpa was a man of God. If I can just leave that legacy, I don't care if I don't leave them a dime. Amen. I believe it's all right to make plans and leave behind materialistic things, but all of those are in vain. Amen. If your family does not know that you're leaving behind a good testimony that you walk with God. Amen. I want to leave here with a cherished remembrance, amen. I want folk in Allegheny County to say, oh, Brother Don practiced what he preached. Now, I'm not perfect. I don't live above sin, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't come to New Hope and preach to you the pure gospel and cuss my wife all the way back down the mountain. I won't come up here on Wednesday night and preach to you and then go home and get me a Budweiser and sit in and watch the game. I try to practice what I preach, but I'm not a perfect being tonight. But I want everybody to know that old Brother Don left here with a good name. I'd rather leave behind a good name than all the riches in the world. Proverbs 22:1. I'm talking about when it comes my time to go. I want to leave here claiming redemption. I want to leave here not only with a cherished remembrance, but I want to leave here with a clean record.
Amen.
I want to stand before God with a clean record, don't you?
Amen.
In the book of Job chapter 16, I preached from that book of Job last night, but in Job 16 and verse 19, Job said, "And also now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record's on high."
Amen.
Did you know that God's keeping a record of every thought, every deed? Now, we've got a people today that are trying to explain to you God. I read an article not long ago that said a healthy head of brunette hair had about 60,000 hair in the head. A healthy head of blonde had about 40,000. I'm way shy of all of those. But anywhere from 40,000 to 60,000 hair in one human head, and over 7 billion people in the world tonight, and God said, "I know the hair on everybody's head. I know the very thought intent of your heart." What a majestic God. I tell people this a lot of times. Let me just share it with you. In Psalm 139, the psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made with all of our body equipment." I know we got people that work in the medical profession tonight sitting in this room, and I'm not a medical professor, but this optometrist, that's the fellow that studies your eyes. He can take your eyeball out. He can put an implant. He can take a cataract off. He can do this amazing surgery and medical technology, but he still can't explain to you how you can close your eyes and open them and see the world in technicolor. He can't tell you how that works with all of his knowledge. I was reading an article the other day, and it said the human heart beats around 70 times per minute. If our heart's normal, it's around 70 beats a minute. When I was born, God put a little pump about the size of my fist, Brother Bobby, in the left side of my chest cavity. And when he started that thing, it went ka-thump. And it's been ka-thumping 70 times a minute ever since. Well, I read Psalm 139, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made," down in the study the other day or some time ago, and I thought about that. And I said, now this little pump called my heart, God put it in my chest cavity, and it beats 70 times a minute. I wonder how many times that is in an hour, 60 minutes. So I multiplied 70 beats by 60 minutes, come up to 4,200 times, ka-thump. That thing set my chest cavity and bump, bump, bump 4,200 times in the last 60 minutes. I multiplied that by 24 times, which is hours in a day, and I come up with over 100,000. I multiplied that by 7 days in a week and come up with over 1 million. I multiplied that by 52 weeks in the year, and then I multiplied my age by the weeks in the year. And when I got done pushing buttons, the calculator said E-R-R-O-R. I done run out of numbers, Brother Homer. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now you say, well, why did you tell that? Well, let God take about 5 or 10 of those away from you.
Amen.
Let him just hold back about a half a dozen and see where you're at. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm glad tonight that I can leave here with a clean record. I want to keep my record clean before God. I want to keep my record clean before you, but my record before God's more important. Peter said, "I must shortly put off this my tabernacle." When I leave here, and I want you to know, in just a little while, the Lord's going to, if he don't come and get us, he's going to allow us to go out. Some are going that way and that way, some around the curve, some over the hill, some down the mountain, and some back this way. This might be the last time we'll ever see you this side of eternity. More than likely, we'll never meet like this again, until we stand at the judgment bar of God. But I want you to hear me tonight. When it comes my time to go, I want to leave here claiming redemption. I want to leave here with a cherished remembrance. I want to leave here with a clean record. And then I want to leave here with a completed race.
Amen.
I don't want to leave anything unsaid that ought to be said.
Amen.
I want to be like my brother Paul in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I don't want to leave here like one little... I heard this epitaph was in a cemetery. You ever read epitaphs on cemeteries, tombstones? This fellow was walking out through this cemetery, and he got a tombstone there, and he said, "Here lies Rastus. I fit a good fight, but my razor was dull." Be a bad epitaph, wouldn't it? I don't want to fight a good fight with a dull razor, do you? I want to leave here with a completed race. I want to preach everything I'm supposed to and nothing I'm not supposed to. I want to leave everything unsaid that ought not to be said, and there's nothing worth repeating except the Holy Bible. I want to leave here and hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to leave here tonight, and I don't want to leave my ministry behind me and God say, "Well, you was afraid to preach what I gave you for fear of man." You know, it's not always easy to preach the message God lays on your heart. Sometimes folk think you're picking on them. Sometimes folk think you're trying to make a public example out of them. But it pays to follow God.
Amen.
One fellow said to me, he said, "Brother Don, I don't believe I'd preach like you do. I don't believe I would have said that." And I said, "That's the reason God called me and didn't call you. He knew I'd say it." Listen, we ought not to leave nothing undone that God lays on our heart. A completed race. I want to finish this race that's set before me. Hebrews chapter number 12 said that we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he said we ought to run this race with patience. And he said in Philippians chapter number 3, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to preach every message like it'd be my last.
Amen.
One of these days, I'm going to preach my last message. I started out preaching over 40 years ago, and I think I'd done my best preaching before I figured out how to do it. I ain't figured out how to do it yet. But I think I'd done my best preaching when I just got up and said, "Dear God, turn loose and let her go." I mean, I don't try to follow the flesh. Now I try to follow God. And sometimes it just, I mean, you don't have it figured in the sermon outline and boom, out it comes. And you say, "Well, Lord, somebody need to hear that." But I want to stand before God with a completed race. I didn't come up here to New Hope just to gain a popularity contest. I come up here on a mission from God. I came because your pastor invited me some months ago, and I appreciate the opportunity. But God forbid that I would go to any church and be afraid to preach what God laid on my heart. I want to leave here with a completed race. And then when it comes my time to go, I want to leave here with a close relationship. I want to leave here with a close relationship, first of all, with my Maker.
Amen.
1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now that verse does not mean that when I walk in the light, I'm in fellowship with Bradley Wooten. But if we, me and Jesus, walk in the light as he is in the light, we, me and Jesus, have fellowship one with another. Now, if I've got fellowship with Jesus, and Bradley Wooten's got fellowship with Jesus, me and him won't have no problem. You say, "Well, I can't fellowship with some folk." You know why? Because they're not walking in the light as he's in the light. We take up for granted that everybody that sits on a church pew is saved and dedicated to God. Not so. Christians don't have any problem getting along. We can disagree and not be disagreeable. But now you get a bunch of carnal-minded people that don't know the first thing about the grace of God, but they got this form of godliness. Now you can't reason with people like that. Now, when I leave here, I don't want to leave here with animosity in my heart against my fellow man. You say, "Brother Don, do you love everybody?" I love everybody, but there's some people I ain't going to be around. Now, come on, you made out of the same stuff I am. Me and Brother Pudd was talking tonight. You know, there's sometimes you don't ask folks how they're doing. They'll hold up traffic 30 minutes and they'll tell you how they're doing. And ain't a thing good about it neither. Negative about everything. Like one lady, I said to her one day, I said, how you doing? She said, enjoying poor health, thank you. How you enjoy poor health? Negative about everything. I mean, you just don't ask some for it. I won't leave here with a close relationship. But there are just some people that you can get closer to than others. There's some people that look at you like you've got the plague. I've been to churches before and they look at me like I hadn't took a bath. When I knew I'd took a shower and put on some of that good smelling stuff, and they look at me like, what are you doing here? And they don't know, but I'd ask myself a dozen times before they looked at me, just what am I doing here? You should never feel a strange feeling when you go to the house of God. But I don't want to leave here with a close relationship. I don't want to leave here mad at my preacher brother. I don't want to leave here. Now, once again, let me emphasize to you that there's some people you're better off to stay away from. You can't play with the skunks without getting squirted. And you know, one fellow told a preacher, he fell out with him and said, well, I'll tell you one thing. Said, I can whoop you. I'll tell you that right now. Preacher said, a bulldog can whoop a skunk, but it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I believe we need to leave here with a close relationship with our Maker. I don't want to stand before God and out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. If people misunderstand me, that's their problem. I don't want to leave here and once again, I don't want you to think that I just, everybody I see, hey man, praise God, good to see you. I'm going to be as honest with you as I know how to be. And I see some folk coming when I know them real good. I try to act like I don't see them. Now tell me I'm different than you are. You're over yonder at Walmart and you're coming down this aisle and yonder he comes. You duck in the toy section just like I do. Don't you tell me you're sanctified that good. Because you know that if you stand around him a few minutes, you'll be mad. And don't tell me that all of them got dumped down in Surrey County. I've been in Allegheny too much. I guarantee you. Yes, sir. I'm talking about folks, I want to leave here with a close relationship. I want to leave here in fellowship. I pick these young boys, these young fellas all the time. You know, one old boy asked me one day, says, how old are you? And I told him, he said, how'd you get so ugly in that many years? I said, I was born that way. What's your excuse? I think it's all right to have a good time on the way to glory, don't you? I've been picking some of these boys with crew cuts. I told him if he didn't go over and get that mop cleaned up, I'm going to daub his ears in mud and set that brush pile on fire. I like to pick at these boys. And my buddy trusts me to say the right thing, don't he, because he's asleep. I want to leave here with a cherished remembrance. And I want to leave here with a close relationship. I want young folks to say there's something real about what Brother Don's got. He's not one of these dried up prunes. You know, we talk about California raisins. We got a lot of Carolina prunes. Well, you said it a while ago, preacher. You try to sell some folks that are in sin on what you've got and it'll turn them off. Fella come into the church one night and he sat down before the service and pastor walked over to him and said, Brother Deacon, it's good to see you. And I don't know who the deacons are, but God bless you. I'm not picking on you. He said, Brother Deacon, how you doing? Well, he said, Pastor, my back hurts and I've had this to go wrong and it just ain't been a good day and light bill's overdue and the wife's mad at me and blah, blah, blah. And over on the other side sat an old sinner boy. He walked over there and he said, son, are you saved? And he said, no. He said, wouldn't you like to be saved? This old sinner boy looked around the preacher at that deacon and said, no, sir. I don't want what he's got. I'm having a hard enough time with what I got. A lot of truth in that, ain't it? We need to be jolly. Now, I know this thing is serious business, but I don't leave here with a close relationship. I want to leave here being able to talk to some sinner and tell him just because you get saved, you don't have to dry up on the vine and cease to be. The best life we'll ever live is the Christian life. And if you're not saved, your time's coming. My time's coming. And I want to leave this with you tonight. Knowing this shortly, if it's another 10 years, another 100 years, it'll be short. Knowing this shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. It's coming to us. How will you leave? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Brad, if you would come.